It's a hot motherfucker in the studio. But we have our winter ocean scene on in the background there, ready to switch to the NHL channel at a minute's notice in case anything's popping there. But that ocean behind me is from the wintertime here at the beach, which is what it is now. A motherfucking storm that day. That's about 11-year-old. No, not 11. That's about a 7-year-old, 8-year-old clip. Can't believe I've been here for 11 fucking years now, man. 11 fucking years. I got divorced in 2008, and I moved here in 2008. And it's 2019. Jesus Christ. Bought my business, left radio, went digital, started a careening little acting career, voiceover career. And I mean, it's I've been in radio. I've been in the ever-loving arms of radio for 40 years. By the time 2013 rolled around, yeah, 40 years, man. I remember my 20th year, I was in Minneapolis, 1993. I remember I was in the, I lived in Lower Town, Minneapolis on 6th. And I went across the street, there was this park there. No, it's kind of a square, a town square. They had benches, you could walk there. I don't know what the fuck I was doing there. I think I was filming something with one of the local TV stations was doing a profile on me, KSTP or something. And I remember walking through this thing because they have you do this. They go, just walk toward the camera. Like you're, here's Phil Hendry. He lived, and just walk. So I'm walking. But I'm thinking as I'm walking, I said, this is 20 years that I've been in this business. 1973, the June of 1973 is when I first went to work for WBJW Winter Park, Florida. And I was 20 years old. And, there I was, just turned 40 in Minneapolis. I had turned 40 in Atlanta. And I was in Minneapolis that April, and it was snowing. I'm like, okay, this is going to be interesting. And then it stopped snowing because the summer came on. And the summer was really shitty. It was overcast. It was a shit summer. I remember it was hot. It had mosquitoes and stuff, but basically it was a shit can summer. And then came the fall, and people said this is going to be one holy hell of a winter. And I don't know what the hell they were talking about. I thought they were talking about a blizzard. When I don't know anything about winters in snow country. I know nothing about them. I'd been in a snowfall twice before in my life, before I got to Minneapolis. Literally, I'd seen snowfall twice in my life. Once was at Big Bear Lake, and another time was, I don't know where the fuck I was, man. Trying to think. I think it was up in the mountains, But now I'm in Minnesota, and now it's in the... So I'm thinking it's going to be blizzards. It'll be blinding fucking holy shit. Well, no. What they were talking about was simply the temperature. It was just the temperature. I would say the snowfall was, moderate. I mean, it was, it was snow. It was probably normal for Minnesota. You're driving through goddamn snowbanks and shit, and they got snowplows, but it was the cold, man. It was the cold. The cold was brutal. 30 below on some days. Wind chill. Had to go out and start your car and warm it up for half an hour. Crazy shit. And then I'm flying in from Miami. And I went down to Miami for a job interview that I got at WIOD. And this was the really crazy part of this, man. When I got to the airport in the Twin Cities to fly to Miami, I guess it was the middle of the day or something. I didn't have a jacket with me. You ready for that? So when I landed, so I got to Miami, had a really good interview, right? Yeah. Had a great interview with Miami. And I fly home, because I interviewed with WID twice. When I was in Atlanta, I went down there. Gary Bruce was still the program director. And the second time I went down there, I interviewed with Bob Green, who was the general manager. And that's when I got the job. And I almost got the job the first time at bat, but they had just hired this radio talent that they were really, all of a sudden, really impressed with. Boy, she's blowing me away, man. It was Randy Rhodes. So I would have gotten that job, but Randy kind of, and I'm happy that she did. Randy is doing great, man, in my opinion. But I fly down, do the interview. I come back. I'm on the plane from Miami to Minnesota, to Twin Cities. I'm feeling pretty good. Then I realize I don't have a goddamn jacket. And the pilot says,
and folks on the ground in Minneapolis, St. Paul right now, it's like,
I think it was 7 below. I'm like, I got no fucking coat. The good news was I knew exactly where my car was. It was maybe a couple of hundred yards away from the door to the terminal, but it was on the same level. And I could run it, and that's exactly what I did. Now, that was the first part. I got to the car. I get in the car. I start the engine. And now I got to warm it up. So I turned it over. The engine started, thank God. And the fucking, and I turned the heater up full goddamn blast. And I sat in that truck. My Blazer is a Chevy Blazer. I sat in that thing for a good 20 minutes at least. Just waiting for the temperature to get to normalize. But I had no jacket on. And I don't think I took one with me. Now, what the fuck? That's kind of crazy because I've been living in Minnesota a year. I should have known by then you need a jacket when you're going out in this shit. My friend Terry Ryder took me shopping because she'd been there already for maybe a previous year at KSTP. And as soon as we got to town, she took me to the Burlington Coat Factory, and I got a big-ass downfilled coat. And I had that son of a bitch for a long time. I think I had it. I think it may be in the garage still. I think I may still have that jacket. They had a hood, a whole goddamn thing. But the reason why I got out of Minnesota, among other reasons, is I was walking down a street that one day in St. Paul. I lived in St. Paul. I worked in Minneapolis. And I looked in the glass of a store, I looked in the display window, and I saw my reflection. And there was a guy in this jacket. It was Phil Hendry. I didn't recognize him. So that's me, but man, that is not me. You know what I mean? Reminded me of that line in Days of Wine and Roses, Jack Lemmon. He says, I saw my reflection in a downtown store window, and I remember thinking, who is that bum? And I realized it was me. I said, who is that guy? Said, no way. No fucking way, man. I go through my goddamn life dressed like this. But I had a lot of good times in Minnesota, Minneapolis. But yeah, that was my 20th anniversary in the business. So 40 years. And then, 40 years, I get married, I get divorced. All kinds of shit happens. All kinds of shit. And I make some, changes in terms of my professional life and decide to strike out on my own here in the digital realm. And this is where I am, you see. Because, look, man, I'm not going to spend my time and my energy sending tapes to radio stations. Just forget it. I already did that shit. And it was a diminishing return. The show suffered as the environment that I had to do it in got less and less. It sort of got degraded. We reached this peak at Premiere, and then it sort of just, my producers got to be not as good as they were. Doing the show remote was not a good idea. Man. Everybody thinks they now know what you do, so they're going to tell you how to do it. Seriously, when I first started doing the show, I knew how to do it. And everybody took my word for it. They said, Phil knows how to do it. Let him hire the screeners. And then they got to the point where, okay, now we know how to do this, so let us hire you, the screener. No, the screener, We had all kinds of conflict. And then, of course, I became known as a prima donna. You know what a prima donna is? I don't know about anybody else, but for me, for my money, a prima donna is somebody who knows exactly what it is that they need to be successful, and the dumb shits that are surrounding them don't, but because they're paying the paycheck, they feel that they have the veto power, and that is true, but that doesn't make them right. And that's how we get our prima donna. A guy who actually knows better than the motherfucker that's paying the check, but the motherfucker paying the check is making all the last decisions and making all the final decisions, and they're all the wrong ones. And so the guy who knows what he's doing protests and complains, and he's a prima donna. You're getting paid all this money, and you know. Because either you know how to do it or you don't. And, all right, man, so what are we talking about here, you know? We got an audition. It's got to be in by 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. What is this shit? You know, I get these auditions, this man in his 60s. The problem is that my voice doesn't always sound like I'm in my 60s. My voice sometimes sounds younger than that. So I have to kind of gruff it up. And then that doesn't sound real. So we've had the guys from 10 Up working on the website. You'll notice that Cloudflare is down. I ran into Cloudflare today, but it wasn't on our site. It was a different site. Cloudflare is now, you know, basically what we've done is we've tuned the site up, and it really needed it. We've also made some pretty important adjustments, and they will continue. So now we can begin to upload audio again, and we will do that. So it'll be cool, man. And the other thing that I'm really looking forward to is we're going to start to strip the site down and make it a little bit faster so we don't have really slow load times that we've had. We've got a lot of moving parts on the site. I love it. You know, I love the design of the site. I love the look of it. But there's a little bit too much moving. There are too many moving parts. There's some animation there that I don't think we need, that I thought we did. I'm not, you know, blaming anybody, but... who are these guys playing, man? New York, you know, it's Edmonton and New York. Oh, the Islanders and the Eskimos. The Islanders and the Eskimos. So, this was a big Stanley Cup final one, once upon a time. Where is this? No, it's in Edmonton. Third period. Oh. Didn't Edmonton used to wear blue? Where did they come up with this fucking orange shit? These Halloween colors, man. They blow in my mind. All right. Da-da-dee-dee-dee. 809. Okay, I'm going to get the... Who the fuck is Nicole Wallace? Author, 18-acre series, mom, dog walker. What the fuck? Deadline White House. What does the New York Times got to say about it? Oh. I was knocked up by a monkey. What the fuck? Oh. How much time we got here, man? I don't know, man. I don't know. I've learned to just, you know, who's our political reporter? Do we have a...
You know, I don't know, Phil. I got to tell you, I've known Dad Trump for a long time. I can tell you, I don't know, Phil. Larry Grover is another one. I don't know, Phil. This is going to be a different. It will be interesting to see. I don't know.
What do you mean to bet?
To bet what?
He didn't say to bet. He said to bet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To bet. If you were to bet. Or did he think that I said Tibet?
Yeah.
No. Why are you so stupid? I don't understand.
Not trying to be stupid.
Just go ahead, Jack.
If I were to be a betting man, I would say that it probably won't be as bad as they think, but maybe it will be. Maybe it will be bad.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Well, you guys always look at the pool smoke me, man. God, man, give me a break, huh? Give me a break. This is going to be an interesting week. You're going to see the Mueller, supposedly, is going to be the Mueller report is going to be. Then another thing is going to be Michael Cohen's testimony.
What do you think is, if you were to give an overall look at this, what do you think it's going to look like?
I don't know. It's tough to say, Phil, because every time I have predicted something, I think, well, it's going to go one way and it goes to the other direction. You know, it goes to the other way. And I think, got to tell you, I don't know which way it's going to swing. It could swing both ways.
It could swing both ways, yeah.
Yeah, why? Do you guys think that sounds weird or something? I'm just learning the English language. I want to be clear.
What if Michael Cohen just, like, does one of those You know those Johnny Seven Angels, Johnny Santangeli in The Godfather 2, was it? He went before the Senate committee and suddenly he's, oh, yeah, I was in the olive oil business. When he suddenly got amnesia. What if Cohen pulls something like that? I said, what to you? Don't you remember, Mr. Cohen, you were in our office, you laid out the entire program? I can't quite, it's jail time. Who wants to go to jail for that motherfucker? Anyway, forget it. And then we have, look, man, I know Trump fans. I know people that like Donald Trump and think he's acting like a fucking moron. They just think he's acting stupid. They think he's doing all the things. They think that he is, by his actions, making things worse for himself. And these are people that like him. Because, I don't know, the people I know, I'm very grateful to say, have brains and free will and can actually, you know, deduce certain things. So, in other words, they're not blind fucking MAGA heads or anything like that. I mean, they're not living on Twitter morning, noon, and night talking about how, you know, everything is a groovy thing. Scotty Woman, 1,244. Can't hit you at 8:30. Barry Trotz, 797. Oh, these are the two coaches in the game. Barry Trotz. Scotty Bowman has 1,200 plus career wins. He's a good 300 ahead of the next closest guy. That's what it looked like. I want to back that up because it's that important to me. That's the kind of guy I am. I obsess over these fucking numbers. And oh, wait a minute. Yeah. He's 300 ahead of 300? Two and a half. No, yeah. 300 ahead of the next guy. Joel Kinneville. At 890, Ken Hitchcock, 838, Barry Trotz, 797, Al Arbor, 782. Al Arbor was an Islanders coach. Is this thing moving or not? Yeah, man. Those are two dynasties. Oilers, then the Islanders. Or was it the Islanders, then the Oilers? I forget who came first. I think the Oilers and then the Islanders. But in the early 80s, Oilers went out. How many of the Oilers went? Like three or four in a row? The Islanders came along and won three in a row. They were fucking terrific, both teams. Who's the Islander goalie? Billy Smith? He's kind of a badass. Anyway. I would love to show you guys. I think I probably already showed you that. I came across that brawl that the Red Wings and the Avalanche had in the late 90s. Fucking fantastic. It was Claude Lemieux and forget the guy for the Red Wings. Boy, oh boy. That was the second one. The first one was two other guys, and then it was a fucking melee. And in it, the two goalies, Patrick Waugh and the dude for Detroit, went fucking at it. And Waugh got the worst of it, man. He got his face punched in. All right, Islanders have taken 19 shots. Edmonton, 36. Islanders lead the game 3-2. It was a good fucking game.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I like the bass line in it. Listen to that beat. Thank you. Hey, baby, won't you take a chance? I left my rubber in the other pants, so let's dance. Sorry. That was crude. That was vulgarity unchained. See the girl with the red dress on?
Yeah!
I do the twist, the bop, the mashed potatoes, too. Any old dancer that you want to do. All right, so that's that. That's that. Then, the other thing we're going to do. I'm not so sure I'm a big fan of this switcher. I am not so sure. Then the other thing we're going to do. Huh? Yeah. God damn it, it's 32 minutes in, motherfucker. Get your fucking shit together. Then I got to give Brea her insulin at 9. Brea. She's not doing well. She'd be out here hanging. She just shit fucking diarrhea all over the goddamn floor there. Brad, baby. What's up, honey? Thunder was upstairs. Because I opened the door and let her go outside. And in the summertime, she used to come in here with, you know, mice and all that shit. Man, it's been fucking cold as hell. Earl Lloyd.
All right, man.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. I think we're going to have to gate that bitch. There it is. Come on, gate that bitch. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. 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 All right. Ready? Yeah.